Welcome to the podcast of Lancaster Brethren in Christ Church, located in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. LBIC is a community being transformed by the love of Jesus, sharing this love with all people. We want this podcast to be an extension of our community and a connection with familiar voices. Together, we want to think about how to follow Jesus in our particular moment. So enjoy the podcast. We're grateful to have you join us as a part of the LBIC family.
Hello, everybody. Jeremy, thumbs up. Great. All right. Well, this is different for certain. Jane said sabbatical might not be easy for you or me. And that's definitely true. I come into this morning kind of sad that I have to be with you in this way and not in person. When we learned that one of our family members in our household had COVID last week, we just began to think of the ways it would be impacting our life, and this is definitely one of those ways. So I miss being with you in person today, but I am with you, I guess, in this way. So thanks to Jeremy and Gary and everybody who's made this possible this morning. So just as we gather together every Sunday, week in and week out in this place, one of the things I think, one of the hopes that I have as a pastor and as a person, as a follower of Jesus, is when we get together in this space is to be able just to bring the stuff of our life to it. I think it's a very important thing for us to bring the reality of our lives as it is, maybe not as we hope it would be, but as it is, to this place in order to bring those things to God and to allow God to enter into those things. And so as I share a little bit about what I'm bringing in this morning, things that I'm thinking about, I want to encourage you all to do the same, to think about maybe some things that you're bringing with you today. And so obviously one of the things for me is just the limitations of COVID and what that has meant for our family. We're quarantined on different levels of our house, and so it's weird to be in the same house with one another, but yet separated from one another and trying to live life in that way. But apart from the COVID thing, there's other things that I'm thinking about and I'm bringing to our time together this morning too. I'm bringing on my heart and my mind is a family friend and their family who are just going through an unimaginable journey with very complicated decisions. In the news throughout the week, even in the paper this morning, I've read of India's oxygen shortage, like literally breath shortage, oxygen shortage for COVID patients. I bring this morning, and I think of the justice that was done in the conviction of George Floyd's murder last week, and I think about the emptiness of a soul who could do such a thing, and I think of the long road ahead of us that we have in this nation towards equality and recognizing the humanity in each person. So those are some of the things that I'm bringing this morning. As well as just the graces of the week, the goodness of God, as we've sung about this morning, as the psalm reminds us about too. But as the scripture that we're going to think about and read this morning is Psalm 23. And so what I'd like to invite you to do is just to bring to the forefront of your minds and of your hearts those things that you are bringing with you today. So just give yourself a few seconds here, and then as those things come to your mind, I want to read Psalm 23 one more time, and I just want to allow that kind of to wash over you, so to speak. And so give yourself a moment, and then I'll read this, Psalm 23, one more time. So into the midst of these things that we bring together today, hear God's word. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing, or I lack no thing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So sometimes when we hear this psalm, we think of it and we associate it with a place. The place is serene and peaceful. There's green pastures. There's quiet waters. There's a soul being restored. We might even think of it, the goal of the psalm or reading the psalm, as being finding a place like this for ourselves. And the truth of it is, most of us can. Lancaster County is a beautiful place, and whether you live in the city or the suburbs, there's the Conestoga River and County Park that's pretty much available to most everyone. And so we can find this quiet sort of place just very locally. Some folks can go a step further and buy this kind of experience for themselves. They can buy an all-inclusive package to go somewhere or tour some place, and they can enjoy beaches and fine foods. And so some people have the good fortune of creating them for themselves a picture anyway of the place of Psalm 23. What's interesting, though, in all of this is whether on the shores of the Conestoga or whether you're one of those folks who can find some resort sort of spot, you can sit in that kind of place. You can sit in a place that is serene and beautiful, but still not be at peace. And I don't think Psalm 23 is so much about a place as it is presence. It's not so much about a place as it is presence. And so the goal isn't necessarily to get to this idealistic or serene place, but the goal is to experience the kind of presence that David talks about in this psalm. If there is a sense of place within the psalm, it's a sense of place that begins with the reality of what we bring, like what we're bringing this morning. It comes and is rooted and grounded in our very life. And so you think about the activities of your week, you think about everything that's happened in your week or is happening globally, or just the activity of life around us. That is the place that this psalm happens in. And what I'd like us to think about for a few moments is the writer and the place from which, or the experiences from which, David is writing this psalm. There's a vein of Christianity or a way of thinking Christianly that idealizes a life of faith and separates it completely from the everyday. This is an unrooted, kind of ungrounded, and I think it's a dangerous version of Christianity because it tries to ignore the present reality in exchange for an idealized one. This kind of faith, this ungrounded kind of faith, from those things that we brought to our mind in the beginning of our time together, that kind of faith might read this psalm and see just this handsome David man sitting, relaxing by maybe the Jordan or the Euphrates River, getting his suntan on, where the sheep just behave like they're supposed to. He's playing a little harp. And we might think, oh, if we could just be David and just live the simple life of a shepherd. That's kind of an idealistic version of reading this psalm. And I think it's actually a dangerous way of reading the psalm, because shepherd life isn't simple. Shepherd life is not simple. Listen to this passage from 1 Samuel chapter 17, as David describes to King Saul his life as a shepherd. And this is right before David goes and confronts Goliath. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out and fight against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But listen to this. David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God." And so what we don't want to do is idealize the life of a shepherd. Being a shepherd was a very lonely job for David. This had a lot of layers to it. So if you remember when Samuel goes and looks for, he's told to go to Jesse's family because a king is going to be selected from this family, and seven sons pass in front of him. And by the end of the time, he's like, well, the one's not here. But then there's David. He's out there tending the sheep. He is a forgotten one. He's kind of the leftover. He's the runt of the litter, so to speak. He's forgotten by his father, neglected by his brothers. His family didn't think very highly of him at all. And so he spent days and nights alone with the sheep. So there's a sense of, there's also the sense of threat that's always there. So David talks about bears and lions, but there's jackals. There's all sorts of things that could come and harm either him or his flock. And so being a shepherd in no sense is an idealistic kind of peaceful profession. David doesn't come to writing this psalm because it describes the serene nature of the surroundings of his life, green pastures and quiet waters. He's not writing this from a place where he's describing what's around him. But he writes this psalm because this is who God reveals God's self to be in the nights of loneliness and in the times of threat. David could have also written this psalm later in his life. If he wasn't writing it as a shepherd, he might have written it as a king or as one who is fleeing as a king as he looks back on his life. And so perhaps he's reflecting back on how he began to know God in his shepherding days. And he's falling back on those experiences of God being with him in loneliness and God delivering him from lion and bear as he's reflecting and experiencing maybe Saul throwing spears at him or being on the run from Saul or maybe when his son Absalom came after him and tried to kill him. The thing is, what I want to help us to understand is as we read the psalm, it's less serene than what we think. It quite literally comes to us in the valley of the shadow. Last week, we mentioned that Jesus prayed the psalms with regularity. And so Jesus would have prayed Psalm 23 too. And one of the commentators suggests and asks this question or poses this question, what if Jesus prayed Psalm 23 on his way to the cross? Now, did he? We don't know. And that's okay, but it does help us to visualize this psalm that we know so well being prayed from a different place, maybe a place that we hadn't thought of before. So imagine a bloodied and betrayed Jesus carrying a heavy wooden cross on his shoulder, praying this to the Father, laboring his way up the Golgothan hill. So just hear this again, hear the psalm again, and imagine Jesus praying this on his way to the cross. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David sang the song as a response to the presence and work of God in his life amidst the loneliness and the lions and the jackals. Jesus prayed this prayer too, if not on the journey to Golgotha. I'm sure Jesus definitely prayed this psalm throughout his life. And so maybe if it's not on the way to the cross, it's being prayed by him as he deals with the loathing and the scorn of the Pharisees and the religious system, or as he's facing down, delivering people from death or from demons, or as he brought about God's kingdom in a way that nobody was understanding or grasping. Maybe Jesus was praying from his own sort of Davidic place of loneliness and lions and jackals. But here's what I would invite us to think about, is to think about those times when you battled the lonely nights, your own version of lions and jackals, your feelings maybe of being dismissed, maybe dismissed by family, dismissed by others, dismissed by jobs or the powers that be. How did God reveal God's self to you during those times? How does this psalm maybe experience your experience of God during those times? And just out of curiosity, and this might be something that you want to do just in your devotional time this week, but what song might you write or what words might you use to express your experience of God's presence during those times when God showed up in a unique way? This might be something that you want to do this week, is just maybe jot some of those things down, maybe write your own psalm, your own poem. For all of us, to one degree or another, I think all of us experience and move through those times of lonely nights or overwhelming darkness or times when things feel threatening. And so my encouragement to us is to take this psalm, perhaps removed and take it down from the shelf of idealism and perfection and serenity, so to speak, and to pray this prayer in the midst of those places. In the midst of those places, like David experienced in those times in the field. How can we use these words as food and nourishment for our souls in the midst of these difficult places? So with all of these things in mind, I want to invite us to pray this psalm again, to pray it from the place where you are, to pray it with your feet firmly planted on the ground of a broken world, to pray it as presence, to pray it as proclamation, to pray it as promise. Maybe you want to pray it for someone. Maybe you know someone for whom you just want to pray this prayer this morning. Well, let's end this time together as we move towards communion, just hearing the psalm one more time, maybe with a renewed sense of where we can pray this psalm from, or at least a renewed sense of where this psalm came from. Maybe you want to close your eyes as I just pray this one more time. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.